How do we use the gifts that have been given to us? That's really what that parable is about in the gospel reading today. How do we use the gifts that are given to us? The parable that Matthew has in his gospel is trying to address a community of faith that is changing and shifting from predominantly Jewish Christians to those who become more Gentile Christians. And the parable that Matthew shares here of Jesus is one that's kind of saying that you folks have received a gift. The landowner has given these tenants a gift of this land, and the landowner is expecting this produce, and he doesn't receive that. They take the gift of the land, and they own it. They keep it, even when the owner sends those to collect what is due on that land. They're thrown out, it says. They're killed. The landowner even sends his son, and the son is killed. Kind of reminder of Jesus being sent to a people of faith and sort of being the world, not being able to handle this message of Jesus and tossing him out. And the parable is trying to say, well, fine, I'll take the gifts and I'll just give them to somebody else. And that's kind of the simplest way of seeing that homily, that parable, rather, this morning. It has to do with how we perceive the gifts that have been given us. These tenants saw them as theirs, and there's no way they were going to listen to anything that invited them to consider using those gifts and expanding those gifts and sharing those gifts and those talents. So that's kind of it's kind of an entryway into some thoughts that I'd like to share with you this morning as we gather together. As you know, during this month of October, if you don't know, this month of October, we're entering into our time where we invite us to reflect on stewardship in a very clear way. I mean, stewardship is a part of our life year-round, but today, in these next few weeks, we want to offer some thoughts and some reflections as we prepare prayerfully to make a pledge to St. Paul's. I want to share a quote with you. There's a friend of mine who has a blog, and I kind of read it every so often, every month or two. And he recently had a quote on the blog, and I want to share this quote with you. The quote is this: "I know your heart is with the poor and broken of this world. But here's the question: where are your feet?" Hear that again? "I know your heart is with the poor and broken of this world. But here's the question: where are your feet?" Do you hear that? It's that our heart can be in places, and that quote is saying, but are our feet where our heart is at? You know, do we walk to the place that our heart is? You know, do we engage with where our heart is? Our heart is an important part of connecting, but it invites us to walk. To put our feet where our heart is. That quote is something I'd like to keep before us as I share some thoughts with you this morning, because many of our hearts can be in many, many places, and we're invited to see where our feet go and how do we express that connection to where our heart is at. And I want to share with you kind of a personal story myself of from my life, and my wife Mary and our life, and our journey in stewardship. Our heart, I'm the one speaking, my heart is, and Mary and my, our hearts are here at St. Paul's. We're very much, so much a part of our lives, very dear to us. And being able to put our feet there, being able to kind of make who we are and share our gifts there is very significant to us. This parish has so many incredible things happening. Our vitality of our programs, our youth program has kicked off to an incredible start this year. Our children's ministry, our preschool is doing so well. Our music ministry is growing. Our adult ed is growing. There's so many things here that touch people's lives. And Mary and I, you know, through our gift of stewardship, which is an expression also of where our feet want to be, want to support that and make that real. How we do that, though, depends on our own life situations. Have you done any reading on the different generations that are out there today? Maybe some of you have, maybe you haven't. There's traditionally those born around 1925 and before are referred to in some writings as the GI generation. Then those born from the late 20s into the 40s are referred to as the silent generation. And then you get into the late 1940s to the early 50s to the early 60s are the baby boomers. How many baby boomers are here? Yeah, the baby boomers. And then after that is referred to as the Gen X generation, and the youngest folks today are referred to as the millennials. And what's interesting is when if you read up on some of this, there's such a different perspective of how they've lived their lives and the culture in which they've lived. And what's interesting is the difference that those folks have about their money, their finances, and how they share it and what's significant to them. So that's one of my challenges when I'm up here preaching on Sunday. We have a cross-section of folks here at St. Paul's and all of those generational descriptions. And, I know from my experience, my parents are from that kind of that GI silent generation. They were born in 1924, 25. You know, that generation is you want something, well, you save up for it. And when you got enough saved up, you buy it. You know, we baby boomers, that's not important to us. Our thing is I think I want that thing. I think I can borrow enough money to get it. Let me put that on I'll put that on a credit card, you know, and let me see if I can get the best finance rate to do this. We're into creating debt. Do you think? It's part of our generation, the baby boomers. Our financial way is creating debt. Even credit scores are based on debt. I guess, I don't know, there may be more sophisticated financial folks here, but if you had no debt, your credit score would probably be zero. And it doesn't enable you to borrow anything. It's kind of almost it's like a catch-22. I may be wrong on that, but so Mary and I are baby boomers, and I'm gonna maybe the baby boomers will connect with this. Maybe others who are not will not. But we sat down a few years ago and looked at our lives. We looked at our finances, and over the years, particularly the last few years, we put two girls through college, and one of our daughters went to grad school, or one daughter's still in college now. We had a wedding a couple of years ago, and there's those expenses that just come up that are kind of unexpected. We've had family things come up that have created medical bills. My youngest daughter, I've shared with some of you, was diagnosed with MS this past year, multiple sclerosis, and we've become very much involved in the MS Society, you know, committed to that, raising money for that. Mary and I were involved in a walk where we raised thousands of dollars, I mean, not ourselves, but gathered folks to raise thousands of dollars for that. So that's where our heart is. Is your heart like that? Your heart in a place? You know, my heart is at St. Paul's. Mary and I, our heart is certainly with MS and the work that they're about. And so we looked at our finances and said to ourselves, you know, look how much money we're owing to people, owing to places. And we sat down a few years ago and set a goal for ourselves of eliminating our debt. It took a few years. And we just pretty much attained that recently, where we have kind of eliminated all of our debt, except for a mortgage on a house. We feel that's a legitimate debt to have. But we paid off our cars, our credit cards, and we made a commitment to do that. You know, we haven't really gone away on vacation for a few years. We haven't gone to our dreamland of Cape Cod for a few years. My car is, I don't know, it's a 2002, 2001 Honda Pilot, almost 240,000 miles on it, and I love it. It's going to keep going. I'm concerned I did this homily, and next week it would fall apart, and I'd have to get a new car. But we've committed to keeping that going. These kind of small things that we did, and we were able to eliminate our debt, except for our mortgage on our house, and that's okay with us. All of a sudden, you realize the gifts that we've been given. All of a sudden, you have this ability to certainly care for your future, to give generously, and to live your life. And it's It's just this incredible freeing experience. Now, some of you sitting here who are the GI and the silent generation, you're just sitting there going, well, yeah. But the baby boomers, this is a challenge. And those who come behind us, I'm just speaking today from my own experience. And so Mary and I sat down, and we decided the other day to make our pledge to St. Paul's for this year. We've made our pledge on Friday on the website. It's very easy to do. And we go in there, press the button, put in your pledge. And Mary and I made the decision this year that looking at our pledge from 2014, that our pledge for 2015, we're going to increase by 100%. We're going to double our pledge. Not saying all of you have to do that. But that's where we're moved. Because it's not just about the pledge. That desire to want to be generous, to be able to give, caused us to sit back. Stewardship invited us to step back and look at our larger financial picture and find ways that we could change and adjust that would free us to use these gifts that God's given us. What about you? That's my story. That doesn't have to be your story. You don't have to be driving a 2002 Honda Pilot. You don't have to be doing things like that. But in your own world, in your own life, are there ways that you can see to enable you to really count the blessings? That's what we did during the month of September, looking at the blessings we've had. And in doing that, how can we share those blessings? How can we make a difference as we go forward here? So today I invite you to reflect on your own story. And that giving that Mary and I decided to do we're not giving because the parish needs more so much. If the parish budget was $200,000, which it's not, or if the parish budget was $2 million, which it's not, our pledge would be the same. Our pledge comes from this sense of wanting to be generous and to grow in that generosity and structure our lives in a way that we can do that and make a difference. So I invite you during this month to not just reflect on, well, how much can I pledge and can I change that pledge? Can I increase that pledge? But let it touch your heart and find the way that you can really see the blessings God has given you. I hope you don't drive me out like the early people drove out the prophets and those who were challenging. But I'm challenging in a way of just sharing my story and inviting you to think about your story and find a way to, over the next month, to make a commitment to St. Paul's, a financial commitment that will make a difference in your life and make a difference in the people, not only who gather here, but the people whose lives we touch as we go forth as a heart-filled people with our feet to be present and to make a difference and live into the vision that God has for all of us.